You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanza.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Now, usually it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, and non-news. But you know what? It's time that we, you know, look back on everything that we've accomplished and take it easy for this week. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. You know, we've been going, what is this now, 73 episodes, and we realize we have never had a best of show, a clip show, if you will.
Yeah, a very appropriate one.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had segments where in the past that we've, you know, covered over, you know, necessary things.
Right.
In order for new listeners to, you know, get caught up to speed on the show. But we've never actually done a dedicated clip show.
Right. You know, compiling all of our best bits and favorite moments into one episode that fans can go back to and just relive all those glorious moments.
Yep. So without a doubt, I think it's very confident that we can say that this show this week is simply the best of the best of the best.
I think so.
Second Lieutenant Jake Jensen, West Point, graduate with honors. We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best, sir.
Your boy Captain America over here. The best of the best of the best, sir. Yeah, with honors. You know, he's just really excited, and he has no clue why we're here.
Well, we have a clue. That's why we're here.
That's right. And we are honored, if you will, to bring these awesome moments to all of you.
Yep. I mean, we really looked back at our full 72-episode history.
Oh, my gosh. You're talking about over 150 hours of programming.
Yeah. And we picked the bits that we found to be just the most hysterical. You know, the ones that made us laugh again when we replayed them. And, you know, I think this is going to be a really nice retrospective look at the Crispy Noodle Podcast as we, you know, venture into, you know, our what is it now, 18 months that we've been on?
Yeah, a really long time.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact amount of time, but a really long time.
I would estimate 18
months.
I think it's 18 months,
yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do on this week's special show. You know, usually we wouldn't do a clip show. Usually we'd go over sports, entertainment, odd news, and we have them in the three different segments of the show. But this week is a different week. And, you know, when you do something on a whim or something different, you know, it's nice to be a little random, and it feels exciting. Isn't that right?
That's right, and as you all know, we're all about randomness on
this
show.
Yeah, we do not have any limitations on where the conversation can go.
Yes.
And these couple clips that we have here for you just prove that. You know, this is stuff that we did not intentionally plan on, but they just happened.
Right, and that's the nature of the beast here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yep, we're unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Yeah, slightly unhinged, that's right.
And these clips prove it. So this first segment we like to call randomness. Let's take it away.
First up, episode 6, JB calls the Crispy Noodle Podcast to settle a debate. The participants go one way. They say Signs to the Lambs by 2 votes.
Two, yeah.
The critics go the other way and they say Wally 94 to 84. We're the deciding factor.
And we're split.
And we're split. How do we come to terms
with this? Where's Bruno?
Yeah, where's Bruno? Should I get him?
Yeah, see where Bruno is.
Should I call him and put him on the air?
Hello?
JB?
Yeah?
Guess what?
What?
You are our first ever on-the-air caller of the Crispy Noodle. Can you hear me?
You called me.
What? That is true. I did call you.
All right. We
have you plugged into the soundboard. We are stuck on a movie madness showdown item.
What might that be?
It's Silence of the Lambs versus Wally. So you are the deciding factor. Sorry.
The only logical reasoning.
I don't have to give a reasoning?
No, just say who you want.
Well, if you want to give a reasoning, I guess you could.
Jesus, a lot of pressure.
Now you know how we feel, because honestly...
Good morning, Bruno.
I wish these films didn't have to go up against each other.
Yeah. Well,
compelling argument.
I'm going to do some eeny, meeny, miny, mo over here.
Oh, he's going to do...
I'm going to go with...
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to go with Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, all right. Yeah. You know what? That I knew it was going to be tough to go with Wally. All right, JB, thanks for answering the phone call.
You're welcome.
Do you want to say anything to do you want to say anything to the audience?
Watch Chris Noodle or listen to it, because you can't watch it.
All right. See you later, JB.
Thank you, Bruno.
All right. See you.
Wow. We had our first ever caller.
Only here at the Crispy Noodle will we call you.
If you don't listen, we're going to call you eventually, so you might as well just listen. Episode 10, Mikey can't understand Sylvester Stallone at all. Right, yeah, when you think of Bond, you think of Sean Connery.
Yeah.
So every time I try and say his name, I want to do it in his accent. It's really
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
What's your best interpretation? Or your best imitation, sorry.
Sean Connery.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I have gadgets.
Yes.
And stuff.
Oh.
Why are we doing this, Rich?
Oh, Pushy Galore.
What?
That's one of the Bond girls.
Oh.
Pushy Galore.
Oh, Pushy Galore.
Yes.
I thought you said pushing the law.
That's why I was so confused.
Did you say pushing the law?
Yeah.
I am the law!
Stallone?
That's why I was so confused. I thought you said pushing the law, not...
You betray the law! The evidence has been falsified!
That would be the most incoherent... Oh,
yes. Sean Connery and Sylvester Stallone. In a summer remake of Rocky Bond. The most confused action hero ever.
Yeah. This could be Rocky trying to pick up girls as Bond.
I mean, you could be a heartbreak. You walk down the street breaking hearts the way you're looking. Very shy.
You look very shy.
I honestly didn't understand one word of that. until you said that part, I understood nothing. I thought he went,
I mean, you could be a heartbreak. You walk down the street breaking hearts the way you're looking. Very shy.
You say something about Tennessee?
I have no... I honestly can't understand him.
Yo, we're from Tennessee.
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
No.
I honestly can't understand a damn word he's saying. You play these clips and I'm just like, hey, okay. Because honestly, I thought he said something Tennessee. And then you're looking sharp, people in Tennessee. It was like something really weird. Play it again.
I mean, you could be a heartbreak.
You're going to be a heartbreak?
Breaking hearts the way you're
Tennessee
looking.
Breaking
sharp.
Hearts? You're looking sharp. I have no idea. Do we have a transcript of that? What is he saying? Put me out of my misery.
He says, you're looking sharp. You're going to be a heartbreak. You're going to break hearts the way you're looking. Very sharp.
That's not as funny.
You're going to be a heartbreak. You walk down the street breaking hearts the way you're looking. Very sharp.
Very sharp.
Come on. It does sound like Tennessee in the middle.
I don't know where you're pulling Tennessee
from. Come on,
man. No, I mean, I understand he's not very coherent, but I really don't
know. Right in the middle, he says something like, Tennessee. Come on, man.
I don't hear Tennessee. I think maybe it's because I know the yeah, line. Maybe yeah, or maybe you're getting sound clips mixed up.
Yo, we're from Tennessee.
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
Does that go for whatever state you're in? Like, if I try that in Pennsylvania, if I just shout out
for Apparently, according to, that's Gary Busey.
Yeah.
Let's get Gary Busey, Sylvester Stallone, and Sean Connery
Sean
in your
Connery.
Room.
And just have them talk to each other.
Yes.
And subtitle the whole thing.
What's this madman doing?
Meatloaf excelled to the level of dancing on a rainbow with no fear and no doubt.
This madman's talking about a rainbow.
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
This guy's yelling.
What was that rainbow clip from? That was... You know what? I don't even want to know.
Yeah, it's Gary Busey.
Because Gary Busey just... I don't know.
That's just Gary Busey.
It's just Gary Busey. episode 13, The Devil's Number Proclaimer. Recently, a working Apple I computer was sold at auction for $668,000.
Whoa!
Yeah, I'm just reading some of the article here. The launch price of the Apple I was, this is weird, $666.66.
What?
Yeah, that's like really ominous.
Get back, demon! Look at me!
Get back, demon!
That's why Apple is so successful now, because they made a pact with the devil.
Oh, no!
And they sold, the devil said, you have to sell your first computer priced at 666.
Uh-oh. Number of the beast. Ah! All hail Satan. An apple.
An apple? Isn't that the same thing?
Oh! You know there's actually a fear of the number 666?
Well, here's the thing. I heard this once on the History Channel.
Ah, so you know.
Yes.
So it must be true.
Yes, it must be true.
All right.
That when they were translating those ancient texts, that they got it wrong. They mistranslated one of the numbers, and the number of the beast, the number, the devil's number, is like 650-something, not 666. There's something, you know, something I saw on the History Channel once. I don't know.
Yeah, it was estimated.
Give or take a few.
Satan doesn't really care.
Satan doesn't have time for specifics, okay? He's a very busy person damning all of our souls, okay?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, you know, we could use some warmth with the cold weather here.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, my gosh. All right, are you ready for this?
I guess. I don't know.
I'm going to butcher this to hell, and this is probably going to be a clip.
Okay. Well, then it must be good.
The fear of the number 666 has a name.
Okay. Oh, boy. I know you love pronouncing these exotic names.
Hex. Hexacosio-hexacana-hexophobia. Wait, I think I might have pronounced that right.
Was that the whole word?
I'm not making this up.
Oh, my God. That's a word.
Google. All right. Right now, if you're listening to this podcast, Google.
I can't even.
Google the fear of 666, and you will see this word I'm trying to pronounce. Hexacosio-hexacana-hexophobia. I think I pronounced it right. I am the Satan's number proclaimer. I'm sure your parents would like that.
Yeah, they're probably going, what are they doing? Are they worshiping Satan down there again?
Again?
Again? They do this every weekend.
Yeah, this is what we do after the podcast. You know, we go over in the corner and worship Satan.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even, you know, you did a good job pronouncing that number. I don't even want to try. Because this, please, everybody, look up this word. It's pretty sure it has...
So many letters.
Like 100 letters.
If you're curious to see the word I'm trying to pronounce, Google fear of 666 and you'll see the word I'm trying to pronounce.
Oh, wait. I want to try something. I'm going to look it up on dictionary.com and have it say it.
Oh, yeah. I can pronounce it? All right. Let's see how close I was to the actual pronunciation.
Hexacosio hexaconta hexaphobia.
Whoa. That was way too fast for me.
Anyway, there's another one. This is a female voice.
Hexacosio hexaconta hexaphobia.
All right, I definitely didn't say that fast.
They're saying that way too fast for me.
I think I did a pretty good job with my pronunciation.
You did do a good job. You did such a good job, I'm afraid to even try it because I know I know I'll butcher it.
And now for a special bonus clip. If Rich and Mike were 40s radio announcers.
Just talk.
Yeah, here we are, Crispy Noodle. Ah.
So, how about them Eagles, Rich?
They still suck.
They still suck.
They still suck.
Why are you covering it?
I don't know. I feel like a rock and roll star.
I'm giving you the whole show like this. Sound like a 1940s radio announcer.
You're listening to the Crispy Noodle Radio.
Brought to you by Ford. We make the best damn cars in the world because Ford was the only company in the 40s.
You cursed. You will now be...
Oh. No. Is cursing not allowed in the 1940s?
No.
Oh, damn. Oh!
You're now eliminated from the radio industry.
Ah.
Go clean my shoes now.
Ah, I see. It's either radio rats or a shoe cleaner. That's how it's going to be, is it?
See?
It's a setup, see?
You must go build me a city under the water. Go.
Is that a punishment now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I'm going to have advanced scientists work on it day and night.
Is a man not entitled to the sweat of his brow?
Uh-huh.
No, says the man in Washington. It belongs to the poor.
And no, says the FCC if you curse.
We'll banish you to Rapture, a utopia. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
F*** you.
And that wraps it up for the most random moments here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, I forgot how awesome that was. That was during a sound test, that last clip.
Yeah, it was. Actually before the show.
Yeah, before we start each week's show, we have to do, you know, a little bit of sound checks to, you know, make sure everything's working correctly. The microphone, the equipment, everything's right. Going smoothly.
And one week we just went a little weird.
Why not? And apparently it was recording. So that's when it's a sign from Providence or something that, like, we had to eventually leak that out to the public.
Yeah.
So there you go, a random clip there. But you know what else? There's also there's another random thing that we do during the episodes of the Chris Mutual podcast.
Right. This was something we started way back when we had extra material that didn't fit into our three segments, sports, entertainment, or odd news.
Right. I mean, for the most part, they cover most of the headlines that we like to talk about on the show. But sometimes, yeah, it doesn't exactly fit in the sports or entertainment or odd news.
Right. We have a little curveball or a side dish, if you will.
That's right. And that's what we ended up calling it, the side dish. And that's why anytime you hear this magnificent sound effect, that means a side dish is coming your way on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And what we have done here is pulled out four of the best side dishes that we have ever veered off into on the Crispy Noodle Podcast in our history. Isn't that right?
That's right. These are some of the best, some of the funniest moments I think we've ever had.
Yeah. So you know what? Let's dive right into it. These are the super side dishes.
Episode 9, Worst Celebrity Endorsements Ever.
One of the things that you do when you're a celebrity, you know, you get to make... you have to make your movies, you get to become prominent, and you can do endorsements, right?
Ah, yes.
You can do celebrity endorsements. I came across the worst celebrity car endorsements.
Oh, boy.
And they all have audio clips attached to them. So I think it could be pretty fun to just stroll through a couple of these. And
that is fantastic news.
Yes.
I can't wait to hear how bad these are.
Yep. Okay, so these are the worst celebrity car endorsements. You ready for the first one?
Yep.
All right. This one is Jennifer Lopez for Fiat.
Okay.
Let's play the clip.
Here, this is my world. This place inspires me to be tougher, to stay sharper, to think faster.
It's just a car.
Why did she pause so much in between each statement?
Obviously, because she's Jenny from the...
She. That's the way it was. It's like, this car is great. And I drive it.
Like, what? Obviously, this is how people on the block talks, because she's Jenny from the block, obviously.
That's how they talk on the block?
Yeah. How are you doing?
I feel like I'm doing William Shatner a little bit.
William Shatner, that kid from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
But
that was weird.
Yeah, just why did Fiat think that was a good commercial?
I feel like it would have been more dramatic if she just said it straight out.
Yeah.
Like, this is my car and I love it a lot, instead of this is my car.
Go F yourself.
We are doing Shatner now.
Yeah, now we are. So, a horrible one by Jennifer Lopez there. You ready for the next one?
Yep.
This one is an old one. For Wilt Chamberlain, for Volkswagen.
Okay. Which, wait, Wilt Chamberlain and a Volkswagen?
Yeah, you'll see why this is bad.
Okay.
You might already know. You might already deduce it.
When 7'1" Wilt Chamberlain tried to get in a Volkswagen, people said it couldn't be done.
Oh, man.
It couldn't. Of course, there's plenty of room for Bill Cunningham, But then he's only 6'6".
Yeah.
What?
That doesn't show off your product. It just shows you that tall people can't get in your car.
Yeah, that's like... Well, we couldn't have the tallest guy, so we got the next tallest guy.
Yeah, but yeah,
that's like saying our car is second place. We're admitting it. Our car cannot fit the biggest people, so we are happy. We are content with being the second best car in that regard. Why would you want to admit something like that?
I don't know.
I would have crammed Wilt Chamberlain in there even if it broke his legs and said, look, even a 7-foot guy can fit in our car.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just weird to admit that a tall person can't get in your car.
You're essentially admitting that you're second best in that regard.
Yeah.
That's weird.
So,
why?
There you go.
Oh, man. And when is that from?
When was it from?
Yeah. Do you happen to know? Because I don't think modern ad agencies would be cool with
that. No. Yeah. You're not showing off your car. You're showing off something that your car can't do.
Exactly. It's like, wouldn't it be cool if your car had all these features? Yeah, but ours doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Buy it anyway.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. You ready for the next one?
Yeah. Let's keep – I like these. Let's keep going.
The next one is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, boy.
Before he was famous in Titanic and Catch Me If You Can and The Aviator and The Departed and Inception.
So before he was famous, he did car commercials.
Yep, he did one for Honda. Let's just play it. You are my
sunshine. What a great ride! My this feels like a jet. Sunshine. It's a miracle!
Woohoo! Miracle Drive. Miracle Civic.
It's a miracle! Kaboom! You are
my what a great ride! This feels like a jet. It's a miracle!
That's so... I don't even know what to make of that. It's like really awkward and
it's
weird.
It's a miracle! Kaboom.
It's a miracle! What car was that about?
It was for a Honda.
Okay. Honda's are miracles. You heard it here, folks, on the Crispy
it's
Noodle.
It's like a jet. That's
it's like
one.
A jet.
It's like a jet.
Kaboom!
This feels like a jet.
Hey, I guess
it's like a jet. It's a miracle.
It's a miracle!
The song is the strangest part, though.
I think it's You Are My Sunshine, but in Japanese.
Right. And that makes it really creepy. You are my sunshine. It's like... When you started playing that, I was like, what am I listening to?
Yeah.
He's just shouting, it's a miracle!
Yeah.
What, do you know how to drive?
I stepped into this car and I didn't know how to operate
it's
it.
It's a miracle! I went from being outside to inside! Oh my god! I made it into the car! It's a miracle! It's like a jet, even though I'm stuck in traffic!
It's a miracle!
Yeah, Jesus never did anything like this.
All he did was rise from the dead.
Yeah.
He didn't drive a Honda? If Jesus was really God, he would drive a Honda, of course. It's a miracle. That was really, really odd. Probably.
What a great ride! This feels like a jet.
It's a miracle. Oh my gosh.
Woo. There you go.
I don't know what you could find to top that. I honestly don't know if you can. Well, let's hear what else you have.
Woo. That has to be a sound clip.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Woo. All right, so my next one. Another big star that you didn't think would do a car commercial. Apparently, back in 1970, Robert De Niro, he decided to do one for AMC Motors. You ready to hear this one?
Go ahead.
The whole thing is him introducing the car to his parents and being like a stereotypical Italian.
Ah.
Hey, Mama, it didn't cost so much. Hey, Richie, get the sneakers off the seat, will you, please?
Ah, it's like that air conditioning.
Joey, so fancy.
Come on, the ambassador comes that way. Hey, come on, let's go for a ride, huh?
Joey, the way I'm dressed?
You look beautiful.
You look beautiful.
See, I didn't get any idea about what the car was like from that commercial.
Yeah, it was just him introducing the car to his parents.
Okay.
But even then, it's not really about that. It's just him my parents. And you're beautiful.
And is he talking?
Yeah, he's talking to the mom. He's not talking about the car. You're beautiful.
Okay, come on, let's go for a ride, huh?
Joey, the way I'm dressed?
You look beautiful.
The way I'm dressed?
You look beautiful.
Wow, that was...
You gotta make money somehow.
It's like cringeworthy.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't see the actual video, but listening to it, I'm like, ugh, that's...
Yeah.
It's kind of...
Hey, you're beautiful. Hey, boop, 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 hey. You ready for the next one?
I can't believe De Niro would do something like that.
Yeah, I think it's more shocking De Niro did one.
I can't picture him like that. Hey, it's my car. Check it out.
Yeah.
I'm sounding like Jay Leno there.
Hey, you got a new car. It just drives off on the road there.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
All right, the next one. This one might top the Leo one.
Okay.
The next one is our old friend Gary Busey, of course, driving around.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
Yep, you have the ability to be happy because now we found a Gary Busey commercial
clip. Is he happy in the car?
You'll hear it.
I guess I'll see.
In this commercial, I'll give you a little bit of forewarning here.
Okay. Is it that bad?
Gary Busey has gone to his local Kia and has found that people have gone to the beach.
Oh, okay.
This is how the commercial opens.
Mike, can you believe that? Are you kidding me? They went to the beach on the hottest day of the summer.
But that just ain't right. That just ain't right.
Half of that was incoherent. He was like making popping noises.
Yeah, I love how he gets serious. Like for him, like it looks like he's gonna. It sounds like he's gonna kill the people.
That's just not right.
Yeah,
that's just not right.
Mike. Can you believe that? Are you kidding me? They went to the beach on the hottest day of the summer!
But that just ain't right. That just ain't right.
What was that pop that he's making?
I don't know, but that just ain't right.
That just ain't right.
I don't think car commercials.
Can you believe it? They went to the beach!
Also, what does going to the beach have to do with a car commercial?
Because he's shocked that people gave up everything they didn't give up everything they have to go to that Kia sale.
With him.
With him, yeah. At least that
one. Can you believe that? Are you kidding me? They went to the beach on the hottest day of the summer!
But that just ain't right. That just ain't right.
That just ain't right.
He does get really serious in that. It's weird.
Apparently, according to one of the comments, this is a commercial running in Pittsburgh, so maybe Gary Busey is close by. And don't go to the beach without him.
Yeah.
That just ain't right.
But that just ain't right. That just ain't right.
That doesn't do anything to promote your brand either. Like, to me, that sounds like you're never there to buy a car.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. Gary Busey trying to sell you
Gary
a car.
Gary Busey. Although I have to admit, it does work because I would buy anything from Gary Busey if he presents it like that.
If he does it exactly like that,
just shouting random noises and the mood swings, and that was impressive, man. That just ain't right.
That just ain't right.
Channeling Christopher Bale's Batman.
Yeah,
Christian Bale's Batman.
That just ain't right. That just ain't right.
All right, and I got one more for you. You ready for this one?
All right, let's do it.
This one is Ricardo Montalban. Yeah, do you remember him? Over the top actor. He was in Star Trek. He was Khan, right? Yeah, he was Khan.
I don't really. Okay, I remember him as Khan.
Yeah, and he was also in one of the Naked Gun movies. And well, anyway, this is his commercial for a Chrysler. So let's play the clip.
I know my own needs. And what I need from an automobile, I know I get from this new Cordova. I could ask for nothing beyond the quality of Cordova's workmanship, the tastefulness of its appearance. I request nothing beyond the thickly cushioned luxury of seats available even in soft Corinthian leather. Yet it is on the highway where Cordova best answers my demands. I have much more in this small Chrysler than great comfort at a most pleasant price. I have great confidence, for which there can be no price. In Cordova, I have what I need.
Cordobra. Wow, that was really dramatic for a car
commercial. Yeah, for a car commercial, yeah. It also says Corinthian leather. I'm pretty sure that's not a thing.
Corinthian.
Yeah, what would...
That name sounds familiar.
It's from the Bible, Corinthians, but like...
Corinthians?
That's not like a... I don't think that's an actual thing.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. It's like saying, oh, it's Canadian leather.
Yeah, right. Like,
I don't think that...
Okay.
Corinthian leather.
Ooh, the Corinthian leather. Ooh, it suits my needs and...
What needs are those?
The needs for my bottom to feel nice and secure. Well, anyway, there you go. That last one, Ricardo Montalban for Chrysler Cordoba.
With Corinthian leather.
Yeah, with yeah, Corinthian leather. Yeah, I
don't... That's the big selling point, is the Corinthian leather.
It's a term coined by an ad agency to describe the upholstery used in Chrysler vehicle models. The term suggests that the product has a relation to the land of Corinth, but there is no relationship. It is a pure marketing gimmick.
Ah.
So, yes, it doesn't mean anything.
Completely made up.
Yep. Just like most advertisements. Well, anyway, there you go. I thought that was interesting. The worst car commercials. Worst celebrity car commercials.
And they were pretty bad.
Yes, they were.
Episode 22, Dirty Old Songs.
There's been kind of this renewed interest in trying to listen to old-time music and, you know, trying to see what the culture was like. You know,
how old are we talking about?
Well, specifically, we're talking about like the first time that we could record music well on vinyl and see if, you know, what we could get away with.
So these are really old oldies.
Yes, very old oldies. And interesting enough, one of these songs became viral over the week because of how dirty it is for it being such an old oldies song.
Oh, a dirty old song.
Yep. This is not a lie. This is all true. This is not... I know.
I love how you have to preface that.
Some people, you know, when I was showing this to some people, they were like, oh, this has to be fake. This, you know, this has to have been like a parody or something. You got fooled, Rich. No, I did my research and actually found these songs that are dirty, that the lyrics themselves are clean, so we can play it.
Right.
But the double entendres and
the subject matter.
The subject matter is very dirty, as you are about to see. And one of them made the rounds, became viral this past week. The one that got viral, which I think you might have heard over the week, was called, and I'm not making this up, My Girl's Pussy.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, nothing bad about that. And this is real. This is a real song made in the 30s. I've got the information right here on my card. I actually had to wrote it. I wrote my information down. All right.
Okay.
That's how you know I was serious about this. I was not going to accept any fakes. This song made the rounds over the week for being so dirty. It was made in 1931. By Harry Roy and his orchestra. So do you want to listen to a little bit of it?
Yes, please.
The song is called My Girl's Pussy, and Harry Roy claims that it's about a cat.
Ah, of course.
But let's hear the song My Girl's Pussy.
One pet I like to pet, and every evening we get set. I stroke it every chance I get. It's my girl's pussy. Seldom plays and never purrs, and I love the thoughts it stirs. But I don't mind because it's hers, my girl's pussy. Often it goes out at night, returns at break of dawn. No matter what the weather's like, it's always nice and warm. It's never dirty, always clean, in giving thrills never mean. But it's the best I've ever seen, is my girl's pussy.
So there you go. He's claiming that he's talking about a cat.
Of course.
Though, despite he specifically goes into how it's very clean, it's not dirty.
Well, cats can be clean.
It's very clean.
Yes. So good thing to hear.
It's nice and warm.
Despite the weather.
Yes.
It's always warm.
In giving thrills, it's never mean. It's the best he's seen. I have the lyrics.
I'm like, wow, Mike has a good memory.
There's one pet I like to pet. Sorry. And every evening we get set. I stroke it every chance I get. It's my girl's pussy.
We are still talking about cats, right?
Yeah, I guess
yes?
So.
Yes, okay.
According to...
It depends.
According to Harry Roy, the leader of the Harry Roy Orchestra.
Well, it depends. If we're a PG show, then it's a cat.
Yeah.
If it's a PG-13 show, it could still be a cat. If we're if we're an R-rated show, it's definitely not a cat. All right. We'll leave it at that. If you're old enough to get it, well then, good for you.
All right, well, so here's what I decided to do. When this video became viral, I decided to research, see if I could find other songs that tried to hide explicit meanings through some sort of excuse.
Euphemisms and stuff like that.
Stuff like that. And I found three more songs.
Oh, man. I can't wait to hear these.
I think you have to hear them, Mike.
Yeah, because I did hear this one on Reddit. It was pretty viral. It was hard to miss. But these ones, I have not heard. Rich did his due diligence and did some research. He's got a little note card here.
Yeah, all right.
This is legit.
I know. Because I didn't want to play a parody or something.
Right. You actually researched them.
So I researched them. This is real.
That's dedication.
Right? I am not making this up.
I think there's more planning than... than either of us has ever done.
And it's all for naughty songs. All right.
Priorities, people.
Yes. All right. Let's play the next song that I found. This song is by a singer named Hank Perry.
Okay.
Or excuse me, Hank Penny. Hank Penny, like a penny.
Like a penny.
Yes. And the song is called Let Me Play With Your Poodle.
Okay.
Now look here, baby, listen to my song. Don't get mad because it ain't no harm. I want to play with your poodle. Can I play with your poodle? Now let me play with your poodle. I mean your little poodle dog. Now he's the best little poodle I've ever seen. What I like's about him, you sure keeps him clean. I want to play with your poodle. Can I play with your poodle? Now let me play with your poodle, I mean your little poodle dog. I play so soft, so gentle and sweet. Like to play with him at least one day a week. I want to play with your poodle. Can I play with your poodle? Now let me play with your poodle, I mean your little poodle dog.
So there you go. All he wants to do is play with your poodle.
A very innocent sounding song, if you ask me. Just... a guy talking about playing with a poodle.
Why is it again that you keep mentioning it's clean?
Like, yeah. Is that going to be a recurring theme?
I don't know. I didn't realize that.
I think the fact that he has
to... I'm not playing with your pets unless it's not clean.
Unless it's clean, yeah.
Not playing with something else if it's not clean either. I'm just putting that out there too.
But,
whoa.
I'm talking about pets here.
I know. Gosh. Hey, get your mind out of the gutter, people.
Yeah.
I think it's a little strange he has to keep reminding us that he's talking about a dog, though.
Yeah.
If he didn't do that, I might have been confused.
At the end of every refrain, it's just... Yeah.
I'm talking about a dog.
Yeah. Talking about your poodle dog. I'm not talking about something.
Yeah.
Right?
Good thing he said that.
Wink.
Good thing he said that, or else it might have been horribly misconstrued. Right?
Yeah.
Right, guys?
Yeah, that could have been bad.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing he cleared that up.
So that was... That was
what was that other line? He was always gentle and
gentle with your poodle or something.
It's a good thing he's not abusing the poodle.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, that last song was "Let Me Play with Your Poodle" by Hank Penny, made in 1947. Play with your poodle. The classic.
A classic tale of man and his best friend.
Yeah. Let's get to the next song that I found. This one might be a little bit more intense.
Okay.
The song is called Sweet Honey Hole.
You're talking about like a beehive, right?
Yes.
Yes?
Of course.
Of course.
And it's by Blind Boy Fuller.
Okay.
Made in 1938.
Okay. This should be interesting.
Sweet honey hole. I say sweet honey hole. Did it even take my honey, satisfy my soul. Said I want my honey every morning, late at night.
But don't get my honey, don't beat them, treat it just right. Sweet honey ho, sweet honey ho. Said it even take my honey, satisfy my soul. Says I want my honey every morning, late at night. But don't get my honey, don't beat them, treat it just right. Sweet honey ho, sweet honey ho. Does it even take my honey, satisfy my soul. Now you talk about your pork chop and your jelly roll. Anything sweet is mine, sweet honey ho, sweet honey ho, sweet honey ho. Does it even take my honey, satisfy my soul. Yeah, now you talk about your honey, you haven't tasted mine. Taste your honey, you're gonna lose your mind. Sweet honey ho, sweet honey ho. Did it even take my honey, satisfy my soul.
So there you go. All he wants is some sweet honey hole.
It seems innocent enough. It's like a 1940s Winnie the Pooh Bear.
That's Blind Boy Fuller for you.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Like how he compared it to food.
We've moved on. We moved on from pets to food.
Yes. What do you say? It's sweeter than a pork chop?
Something like that. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's Winnie the Pooh talking about food. I don't see what's so wrong about that.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
You people, you're so dirty. God.
Yeah.
What else could it possibly mean? Sweet honey hole. Come on. We're talking about like honey you put on toast and in tea, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Just like we were talking about pets before.
A hole that's sweet.
Yes.
This is from the 50s musical Black and Blue Review.
Okay.
And the song is called, If I Can't Sell It, I'll Sit on It.
Ah. So like chairs.
Well, that's what she claims. She claims
Okay.
Exactly. She claims that this is by Ruth Brown, and she claims that this song is about chairs.
So it's like a garage sale song then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's play the clip.
Until this real cheap guy walked in one day, saw this chair he wanted to buy, but wouldn't claim the price was too high. So I looked him straight in his eye, and this was my reply. If I can't sell it, I'm gonna keep sitting on it. I ain't gonna give it away. Now, if you want it, oh darling, you got to buy it. And I mean just what I say. Now, how'd you like to find this waiting at home for you every night? Only been used once or twice, but it's still nice and tight. Wow! But if I can't sell it, I'm gonna sit back down on it. I ain't about to give it away. Now, you can't find a better pair of legs in town. And a back like this, not for miles around. Cause it's made for comfort, built for wear and tear. Where else would you find such a easy chair? Oh, but if I can't sell it, I'm gonna sit back down.
So there you go. If I can't sell it, I'll sit on it. She claims that it's about a chair.
Well, what else could it be about?
I know. With those legs.
Yeah.
It's a chair with nice legs.
And it's a quite a tight chair, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever had
described a chair like that.
Yeah. But, yeah, a tight chair that has good legs. And what else did she describe it as? It was
built for wear and tear.
Built for wear and tear.
Only been used once or twice.
You know, I think that's a great deal. A chair that's only been used once or twice.
Yeah, this guy was being cheap. How dare he?
I know. God. I don't understand why people could misunderstand that. Clearly, she was at a garage sale. She was having a hard time selling this chair despite its numerous qualities. A tight chair. I lost it at that one.
So that was from a 50s musical right wow. there.
That was a musical, too.
Yeah. If I can't sell it, I'll sit on it.
All right, then.
And I got one last one for you.
Good. They're very good, wholesome family songs that you can gather. I can imagine a family sitting around the radio in the
1930s everyone.
30s and 40s. Yeah. Little Billy's going, Daddy, I want to listen to a song about my girl's pussy. And little Sarah Lee will say, I know, but if I can't sell it, I want to sit on it.
And Jimmy just wants to play with your poodle.
Yes, what? And Jimmy. All right. I want to play with your poodle. Why can't I play with your poodle?
All right.
It's very wholesome family fun. I don't know.
Of course. Gather the kids around, right? Yes. And this is the last song. It comes from Little Johnson and Black Bob, made in 1932. It's called Press My Button, Ring My Bell. Here it is.
My man thought he was raising sand. I said, give it to me, baby, you don't understand. Where'd you put that thing? Where'd you put that thing? Just press my button, give my bell a ring. Come on, baby, let's have some fun. Just put your hot dog in my bun and I'll have that thing. That ting-a-ling. Just press my button, give my bell a ring. My man's out there in the rain and cold. He's got the right key but just can't find the hole. He say, where's that thing? And your bell won't ring. Now tell me, Daddy, what it's all about. Trying to fit your spark plug and it's all worn out. I can't use that thing. That ting-a-ling. I've been pressing your button and your bell won't ring.
She's just a woman who can't get a good handyman over to her house to fix her doorbell.
What it is, and she's having a barbecue.
Yeah.
Because she wants him to put his hot dog into her bun. She says, I have this bun here, and you should put a hot dog into it.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
Whoa, Mr. Costanzo!
Not just a hot dog or a hamburger, but a hot dog and a hamburger.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
Yeah, but, you know, that's perfectly fine because this is a clean song. It's about somebody coming over and pushing the doorbell and the bell rings and they're like, oh, they're here for the picnic. And then they come outside and eat their hot dog.
And then she finds out that the button won't ring the bell.
And then the button stops working. I know.
Yeah, just
think about how many guests were turned away because the bell wouldn't ring.
Yeah. So sad.
She was so welcoming. Yeah. She wanted everybody to push
her
button.
She was waiting all week for hot dogs and hamburgers.
Yeah, I know.
Just like your dad.
She really wanted, she had a bun and she wanted to put a hot dog in it so she could eat it.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
We should have asked your dad if he knows this song.
People will laugh at you. The Indian elders and the Indian spirits are laughing at you.
And Gary Busey has something to say about it.
Oh, man. The best moments are when you accidentally hit that damn board.
Gary Busey wants to chime in on this.
Yeah.
So there you go. That is my collection of old oldies referencing things.
The Dirty Deed.
Yeah, the Dirty Deeds.
Done dirt cheap.
Oh, boy. Well, there you go.
All I know is that was incredible.
Did you like that segment?
I really did like that.
I was hoping you would.
Those songs are just so obvious.
Yeah, and they got away with it in the
30s. Sweet Honey Hole. My Girl's Pussy. Really?
Episode 23, Learning Languages.
So, yeah, I found a video on Gizmodo.com about the longest words in different languages.
Ah.
Yeah, and so it's a video of them pronouncing the words, and I thought it would be fun if we could try to pronounce them as well.
Oh, okay. So, all right. I'm down.
All right.
All right. So, are you ready for the first word?
Yeah. What's the first word?
Yeah. What was that?
It means to the least farmable one.
What language is that?
Czech. It says...
So we're trying to pronounce a Czech word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Nejne obohosa parav ravava telenejesima. Go ahead, your turn.
Judges, can I have the repeat of the word?
Wow, I butchered mine.
Wow.
Okay.
Nezhni obosoda rova vitel nezimjimu.
Wow. That actually wasn't half bad, I think. Do we want to hear?
Let's hear it again. There's definitely like a moo at the end, so.
Yeah, it's nezimu. Nezimu.
In Czech, this word means, quote, to the least farmable one.
Wow.
And it's a real word in the Czech language.
Does that mean like the least farmable like land?
I guess so.
The least farmable one? Or maybe like the one that can farm the least? Rich, how much can you farm?
I can farm Nezhniobozoda Rova Vitel Nezivu.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. That was exactly it.
I think I might get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I might have been close. Maybe.
You're not going to like the next one.
All right. So what language is this one?
This is Danish.
Danish language here. And the word is, quote, period of plan stabilizing for a specialist doctor's practice.
What are those? So wait, the definitions aren't even in English.
The period of plan stabilizing
for a specialist doctor's practice. That's what it has here on the
screen.
So
if you have an eye doctor, this is the period of plan of like the doctor stabilizing the plan for his office.
Well, yes, all dentists and eye doctors have to plan their offices.
No, but it's the period of planning to stabilize.
Yes, so this is it.
Okay,
this is how they pronounce the word.
What? Specialek Gerpark Sis Polygonist Stabilisering Pisarodi.
I can't believe this is an official word. There's no way you would take the time to write out a word this long.
I've never seen these letters before. Go ahead. Your turn.
Special Edge Prank is playing it. It's the.
All right, you laughed at that
I'm
one.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Specialist practice is playing in established road.
You're just adding the words in.
I don't know. I'm trying to see what I can. I'm trying to break it down. Whenever you have a long word, you break it down.
Special praxis planilgin stabilisering period.
There you go. I think you got. I think you won that one.
Should we listen to it?
Let's listen to it again.
There you go. I can't. No, there's no way. I'm not going to be able to say that one. Damn you. Was it Danish?
Danish.
Damn you, Danish.
Danish people.
Danish language. You've thwarted me once again.
Damn you, Danes. Oh, boy.
All right, you want to move on to the next word?
All right. The next one is Slovenian, and it means ENT medical practice.
What's ENT? Do you know what that is?
Oh, ears, nose, and throat.
Wow, there you go.
Wow!
Nice.
Oh, man! Look at the big brain on Mike!
I quit. I'm done.
All right, so this is an ears, nose, and throat medical practice?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear how they pronounce it.
That's not so bad. Otorhinolaryngologia.
Let me hear it again.
Otorhinolaryngologia.
All right, here we go. Otorhinolaryngologia.
Hey, there you go. Oh, man.
Look at that. Yeah.
Look at the big brain on Rich. Whenever somebody wins a round, we have to say that.
All right. There we go. I think I got that one.
Yeah. Woo. That was pretty good.
I can speak, what is it?
Slovenian.
Slovenian. Yay. My brethren.
You can only say ENT medical practice.
I need to go to the otolaryngologia.
Don't ask for hamburgers or anything.
No.
All right. Ready for the next one?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Wow. All right. What language is this?
This is Dutch, and it means...
Oh, Dutch.
Dutch.
Really?
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
What?
Yep. I guess that's how we're going to be feeling right now.
Maybe that's why he doesn't like the Dutch is this word. So this is a Dutch word that means preparation activities for a children's carnival procession.
And the word is longer than the actual definition.
Yeah.
I think that should be a rule of thumb. If the word is longer than the definition, you're better off just writing the definition than creating this word.
Why can't they say each of those words individually?
Yeah.
All right, so.
All right, let's hear how this is pronounced.
Kindergarten for Begeleidingswerkzaamheden.
I don't even think they know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, I think they fumbled.
They were like,
it.
Blah, 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 blah.
All right, let's.
All right,
try
I'm gonna give it a shot. Kinder Karneval Soptak Vorbereidings Zwerkhazaheden.
Woo!
I thought that was pretty good.
Kindergarten.
Kindergarten. Oh, I'm done.
Kinder Carnival Soptak Vorbereidingswerkzaamheden.
Hey, there you
know.
That's
the best I can. That's the best good. I can go with Dutch accent. That's the best I'm going to be able to do. All right, let's hear what it was exactly again.
Kinder Carnival Soptak Vorbereidingswerkzaamheden.
Yeah, it does sound they messed up.
I think we got it right.
I think we get the point for that one. Yeah.
Look at the big brains on us.
Woo! Yeah. Take that, Dutch.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
What?
Yeah, take that.
Oh, boy.
That was a weird word, though.
How about new, you crazy Dutch bastard?
Yeah, how about new? If you can't even say it right, then we shouldn't have to say it right.
That's right.
All right, and we got another word coming up.
Yeah, you're not going to like this one.
What the? No.
Those aren't even letters.
All right, and what language is this?
This is Turkish, and it means...
Turkish?
And it means, as if you are one of the people that we didn't make resemble from... Oh,
you can't even read this. You can't even read the.
Okay, wait. As if you are one of the people that we didn't make resemble from a foy Afyon Karish Isar. You say that.
All right. The town, I think, is Afyon Karishar.
There you go.
Afyon Karishar.
Afyon Karishar.
No, there's no way we're going to be pronouncing this word right.
Well, let's hear it and then let's give it a shot.
All right. Okay.
What? They did that so fast. All right. I'm just going to dive in. Afyon Karishina Lil Ashen Madikal Rasadan Missi Kissi Kasina.
Woo!
I think that was completely wrong.
Okay.
You got to brace yourself.
Yeah. I got to strap myself in.
All right. Is everybody ready for this? Go ahead, Satan's number proclaimer.
Shut up, Mike.
I am the Satan's number proclaimer.
Yeah, well, I did claim his number.
You did.
I'm not word. Okay, here I go.
Afyon Karishar las tira madikal in mids dan minsi kanesi kasina.
Kasina.
Yeah, I know at the end it's kasina.
Kasina.
Kasina. We might not get the whole word right, but we got that ending.
That's right.
Casino!
I think this point goes to the Turks.
Yeah, there's no way. Let's hear it, the correct pronunciation once again. Wow, that's just too long.
Wow.
Way too long. Need to shorten that one up, pal.
I can't read the definition for the next one. Wait, yes I can.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
What language is the next one?
This is Irish Gaelic, and it means anti-disestablishmentarianistic.
Yes.
Anti-disestablishmentarianistic.
Or for those that would be interested in writing it better, it would be characteristic of anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why would they add istic? Well,
yeah, you're just making up.
Yeah, that's just
suffixes at that point.
You're just making up suffixes.
Yeah. Anti-disestablishmentarianistically.
Yeah, you might. Yeah,
it's an adverb now.
Yeah, you might as well. If you're going that far, yeah, let's attach any suffix at this point. Add an ing at the end for good luck.
Yeah.
All right. This is Irish Gaelic.
Yes, for anti-disestablishmentarianistic.
All right. Let's play the correct pronunciation here.
Persevunatorium.
All right,
you did that so fast.
Yeah,
Frith dib huna haya takoraya.
Woo!
I don't know if that was right.
I can't really tell because they really say it fast in this.
They
clip.
Do.
Persevunatorium.
That is way too fast.
Frith dib haya kona tayarika.
All right, here we go.
Good luck.
Frith dib haya. I sound Jewish.
Frith dib haya haya.
Frith de Bahayim Takorich.
Takorich.
I don't know. The last bit looks like reach.
It is reach. It's right. Takoy reach.
I don't know. All right. I concede that word.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys can have that one back.
Persevunatorium.
Yep. You guys can have that word.
Wow.
We've got to start to wrap this one up. But where's the Italian one?
Let's find the Italian one.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear the correct pronunciation.
Precipitevolissime volmente.
Oh, wait, that doesn't sound that bad.
No, it doesn't.
And the definition is, in a way, like someone or something that acts very hastily.
All right. Precipitevolissime. Oh, wow. Precipitevolissime volmente.
Oh.
I think I did that pretty good.
I think you got that.
Go ahead. You do it.
Precipitevolissime volmente.
We can speak Italian.
Yeah, I think I still might have it.
Yeah, I think we got it. You know what might be fun? My parents are Italian. Would you like to try and pronounce an Italian word on the Crispy Noodle Podcast? It's the longest Italian word. No pressure.
All right, here you go. All right, so Mrs. Costanzo, you're 100% Italian, right?
Yes.
All right. Oh, man, she's putting her Italian hood on the line.
Yeah. Do you think you can say the longest word in the Italian language?
Why don't we play it one more time?
Precipitevolissime volmente.
All right, this is it. Mike's mom
pronouncing the longest Italian word, which means, let me get the definition back up on the screen.
In a way, like someone or something that acts very hastily.
Okay.
All right, here you go. Your moment to shine.
Precipitevolissime volmente.
Oh, I think that was good. I think that's it.
That was pretty good, yeah.
There you go. Very cool one.
Then. Yeah, that was a good one.
And I think that was a very good one by both of us. I think we might still have our Italian classes in us.
Should we call it after the good one?
Yeah, I think that's good enough.
Unless.
You want to try the last one, the absolute?
Did you see the last one?
Yeah. You want to try the last one? This is the absolute longest word ever.
I've not seen a word longer than this. This is Swedish.
I'm going to Disneyland, come and go to Disneyland, all you people living in Sweden.
Maybe Gary Busey could help us.
He'd probably have a better shot than I do. The word from Swedish means the supply of uniforms to the personnel of the track cleaners union of the tramway company.
Wow, that's really, really we needed a word for that?
Yes, of course.
All right, and here's the correct pronunciation of it.
Spårvagnsaktiebolagsskensmutsare fackföreningspersonalbeklädnad.
What?
Spårvagnsaktiebolagsskensmutsare
fackföreningspersonalbeklädnad. I think that was the perfect way to close that second.
There you go.
La bibbida bibbidum. La bibbida bibbidoo.
I wanted that to be the ending. I thought that's what it sounded like.
That is what it sounded like. Episode 41, a voicemail from Rapture.
This is a job recruiter, and she was getting in touch with someone as a return call. And she leaves, you know, just, you know, hey, trying to get back in touch with you. Here's my number. Hope to talk to you soon, right?
Right. Standard stuff.
But she forgets to turn her phone off.
Uh-oh.
And she ends up releasing an intimate song about her pet.
Wow. An intimate song about her pet.
Yeah. So
this is interesting.
You know what? I'm just going to let the song speak for itself. This, well, it's she's singing. She didn't know she was being recorded.
All right. Well, this this should be interesting to say the least.
So let's play it. This is the adorable voicemail of the recruiter who forgot to hang up. Let's play the clip.
I look forward to speaking with you.
Come here, my little monkey. Little mind a little bear. Oh, will you stop it? You're just crazy. I love my little berry cans. You can stay here. You're in demand, my little boo-boo. You're in demand, my little berry babe. You're in demand, my little bear bear. You're so sweet, my little care bear. My little care bear. Mm-hmm. I love my little berry boy. He's a baby. He's a baby boy. So sweet.
And there you go.
I'm completely speechless. I was mouthing WTF the entire time. Wow. I never had a pet that I could really sing to. I had mostly goldfish and parakeets. So I couldn't, like, hug a cat or a dog, as depressing as that sounds. So I don't know. Do people sing to their pets like that often?
Yeah, I've got a pet. And
Do you sing to your cats, Rich?
Every now and then. I'm not going to lie.
Now's the moment of truth.
I why not?
You serenade them every once in a while?
Nice, you know, you got a nice pet, you know, he's like your buddy.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. That was a little...
She went into a full song.
Yeah.
Just let you know, there's lyrics to this. You can actually write down the lyrics.
She's actually one of the top grossing artists on iTunes. No,
probably.
Just kidding.
Some lyrics include...
please read them, because it was a little hard to understand some of the garbled... I don't know what you want to call that.
The lyrics are, you're in demand, my little boo-boo. You're in demand, my little berry babe. You're in demand, my little bear bear. You're so sweet, my little care bear. My little care bear. I love my little berry boy. So that's the...
Oh, my God. What does she mean, you're in demand? Well, first off, what type of pet is this?
Well, we don't know. She didn't know she was being recorded.
It's got a Care Bear. That's got to be a cat or a dog.
Yeah.
Unless it really is a bear. And she was like singing to like a grizzly. She's like cradling a grizzly bear in her arms. You're my little Care Bear.
That's the sound the bear makes.
Maybe Gary Busey can help us.
What we don't realize is that that was just Gary Busey disguised on the voicemail.
So, just had to bring that up. That it was just so random that she would... How do you leave your phone on? Don't...
Yeah, I don't know how you mess that up. Like, I'm looking at the phone that I have in my house, and the hang-up button is, like, red. It says end, stop, cancel. It's, like, one of the biggest buttons on the phone. I know all phones are different, obviously, but it seems like a pretty standard action that someone would do.
First off, I don't know how you don't know your phone isn't off. Secondly, I have this idea.
Okay.
Doesn't it just for a little bit sound like it's like a little sister from Rapture?
Oh my God, it does.
So I'm going to try it. Let me see how this works.
All right.
I'm going to try a rapturized version.
A Rapture remix. Yo.
Of the adorable voicemail.
You can stay here. You're in demand, my little boo-boo. You're in demand, my little berry babe. You're in demand, my little bear bear. You're so
so sweet, my little Care Bear, my little Care Bear. Mm-hmm. I love my little berry boy. He's a baby. He's a baby boy.
Oh my God.
What do you think?
I for a second there, I was flashing back to the streets of Rapture.
I think
crazy.
It sounds like a Little Sister in that
it
recording.
It does. Some parts of that are like legitimately, if that were in the video game, it would be creepy. No, honestly, it would be, wouldn't it?
My little Ken Levine, I provided you with some content for Burn Old Sea.
There you go. Episode 2. There you go. Watch. It's going to be the next DLC. My little bear. What does she say? My little Care Bear.
And wait, and didn't the Little Raptures present you with, or Little Raptures?
The Little Raptures!
The new
all
band.
Over the place!
The new band coming soon, the Little Raptures.
The Little Raptures.
No, the Little Sisters.
They gave you the teddy bears.
They gave
bears.
You teddy yeah. bears, right?
It all comes
it
together.
Fits.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, this could be a Rapture song.
Oh, that's so amazing. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I can see like the little sister coming down out of the vent and like putting the bear down and singing the song as she's putting the bear down.
You're in demand, my little boo-boo. You're in demand, my little berry babe. You're in demand, my little bear bear.
Yeah. Yeah. That would work.
You.
That would work. Ken Levine, get in touch.
There you go.
Get in touch. We got some ideas over here.
That's right. Let us know.
Yeah.
You're in Boston. We're only a 30-minute flight away.
Yeah, exactly. There's no excuse, Ken Levine. This is a personal message to Mr. Ken Levine of Irrational Games.
Let us know what you think of our idea, okay? And there you go. That is the side dish for this episode.
Wow. That had everything. It had singing, it had pets, it had BioShock.
Everything you could expect.
Yeah, wow. That's like amazing.
Mike's dumbfounded.
I am.
By this whole sequence of events.
The song just utterly confused me. And then the link to the Rapture thing that you just did, the Rapture remix, totally blew my mind.
So there you go. Something I just had to bring up. I thought that was amazing. I thought that was just, first of all, amazing that she didn't know she was on the phone.
Right.
And then on top of that,
she had that whole song.
She had that whole song. And then I don't know why it just hit me. This sounds like something from BioShock. Something
good
from
Rapture. Call. Good call.
Oh, and there you go. The craziest side dishes that we've ever done on the show.
I think that's one of the most eclectic segments we ever have done.
Yeah, because that's the point of the side dish. It's
right.
Not exactly sports, not exactly entertainment, not exactly odd news, but we still have to talk about
it. It's not exactly anything.
No,
I mean,
it's not exactly anything.
That's right. That's why it's a side dish, because it's just the weird stuff we found that we had to talk about.
That's right. So there you go. The genesis and some of the best moments behind the side dish portion of our show. But you know what? You know, a lot of random things can be thrown at you, but unfortunately one thing that is always a constant is that we gotta take an ad break.
Yeah, well, you know, we need a breather every once in a while because we gotta gear up and get ready for the next great segment on the show.
That's right, and coming up on the next portion of the show, we're gonna go over some of our favorite guest star moments to come up on the show, which, boy, we've had some fabulous, people take over the third mic here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And we also have a long-lost archival clip that we have never played before.
That's right. This is the one and only time you guys can hear it. It's never been heard before, so make sure you stick around.
That's right. So don't go anywhere. A lot more of the best of the Crispy Noodle Podcast Clip Show. We'll be right back.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings for top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles. Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name. Selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at trashcity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom. We are online only. Visit us at trashcity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Are you in the market for a quality used car? Have problems trusting fly-by-night used car dealerships? Check out Ken Nolan's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales. Ken has been in business for almost 30 years, selling cars not only to people all over the Philadelphia area, but now worldwide thanks to our website at www.plymouthmeetingautosales.com. At Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, we have cars for all size wallets, inexpensive cars under $3,000, to classic cars and even dump trucks. Stop on in. That's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, 1215 Ridge Pike, Conshohocken, PA, or call 610-828-4427.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, The Clip Show. I like the name of that.
I like it, yeah.
And we're going to keep on bringing you the best of everything that we have deemed to be the top-tier quality of what we've done here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But we're also going to give you something that we haven't even shared with you yet in the Crispy Noodle history.
Yeah, this has got a great story behind it. We recorded this segment, I guess, over a year ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to cut the show down to get everything in that we want to.
Yeah, because, you know, we don't want to all of a sudden throw at you a three-hour show. We promise you a two-hour show.
Right. And this was one of those segments that, unfortunately, you know, landed on the cutting room floor. However, and we've always been meaning to bring it back, but we never found the right time.
Yeah.
Well, now is that time, Rich.
Why not?
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, this segment I thought was awesome. So,
oh my gosh, it was one of my favorites. And we even play the clip from it all the time where we say, Mr. Microphone synced up.
And Mr. Microphone! It's very rare that we are on the same page.
Yeah, that's the first time that happened. And it's from this segment. And that soundbite made it out, but this segment never did.
Right.
So a little bit of Crispy Noodle lore right there, if you will.
Well, there you go. That's the history behind why this segment did not air previously. But you know what? We're proud to bring it to you. And I think it's a great segment. So let's bring it here. A long-lost deleted clip from the Crispy Noodle archives. This is the strangest infomercials. So, of course, you know, I'm going through the channels and, you know, there's commercials, you know, you can't help it. You know, it's how these TV shows and channels make money. Can't do anything about it. And every now and then you get an infomercial, right?
I love infomercials.
Yep. Well, I came across this crazy infomercial called the Password Minder.
Okay.
I'm going to play the clip of this and I want you to tell me what you think this is. You know, what the actual device is.
It's a device?
That's what they're selling this as.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to play the sound clip. You tell me what you think it actually is.
Online passwords. There's just too many. And who can remember all those tricky combinations? So you stick them on your monitor or you hide them in a drawer. But not anymore. Introducing Password Minder, the personal logbook that takes the hassle out of passwords. Forget about sticky notes or scraps of paper, because Password Minder has been specifically designed to organize and safely store passwords. You'll find them in an instant and never lose a password again, guaranteed. Need to make a password? Just add it to your Password Minder. The alphabetical listing organizes all your usernames and passwords for instant recall and easy reference.
Now that I have Password Minder, I haven't lost a single password. It's so convenient.
Plus, the Password Minder features a discreet leatherette-bound cover to ensure your passwords stay a secret. And there's plenty of room, enough for hundreds of passwords. And it's not just for passwords, it also stores your software licenses, network settings, and tricky email configurations permanently. You'll never lose important settings again, even if your computer crashes, because you're back up and running in seconds with all your vital information right at your fingertips. In fact, with Password Minder, you'll never lose critical computer settings again.
I don't have to worry anymore about security or identity theft. I now have all my passwords in one place. It's great.
If you have passwords, you need Password Minder.
So call now and get your very own Password Minder book for just $10. But we're not finished yet.
Wait. All right. What do you think it is?
Did you say book?
What do you think it is?
Is it a notebook?
It is essentially a copybook.
Really?
Yes.
When he said book, it gave it away. I was like, wait, did he say book? Really?
Yes. That whole ad is just for...
They're saying, hey, take out a piece of paper and write your passwords on it.
It's just a copybook. Dude, that whole ad.
It looks like a day planner with the little tabs on the side.
Yeah.
It's an address book. My mom has one of those.
It's an address book for your password.
She bought it in like the 80s. It's got flowers on the front of it.
Yeah, this isn't anything new we're talking about here, people.
I don't know what to say. It's just a copybook.
Yes.
How much are they selling it for?
$10.
Really?
When you can go down to Staples and buy a cheap notebook for like $2.
Make a Word document and print it out.
Yeah, you could do that too.
My computer has something on it called Keychain where it automatically logs all the internet passwords.
But don't you feel insecure?
Sure, but that's because...
Wow, I'm glad you were so honest about that.
Well,
sure.
Come on. How many times do you hear about people hacking? And I had to change my LinkedIn password because they lost all the passwords. Do you remember when that happened?
No, I
you should change your LinkedIn password.
I guess I might.
That happened too. That happened like several months ago.
Uh-oh.
Anyway,
all of a sudden Rich Liebig works in Ohio.
What? But no, if you're worried about security, why are you writing down all this stuff in a neat little book that says Password Minder on
yeah.
it? Yeah. Somebody's trying to hack into your computer. Oh, if only I could guess their password. Oh, this book says password. No, it couldn't be that simple. Let's see F for Facebook. There it is, right there.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's password is password one anyway.
Password one.
Yeah.
Well, so I came across this, and I was just like, really? You know, a copybook, but just put on it Password Minder.
Password Minder. And $10.
And logos.
And, of course, there's going to be shipping and handling for that.
Yeah.
But wait, so, if you call now, you get two Password Minders.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Is that what they do?
I think so. Just in case you need more password protection. In case you need to make a duplicate of your password.
Backups.
Your backup to the backup.
They make it sound so easy. All your settings are in one place. No, they're not in one place. If your computer crashes, you have to go back and manually enter them. That is not convenient. That is the opposite of convenient. That is inconvenient. I mean, really, if your computer crashed and you lost all your settings, how upset would you be? Pretty upset.
Yeah, but I'd probably be even more upset that I have a damn password minder telling me what the original settings were. Go away, leather-bound book.
Yeah, it's leather-bound.
Yeah.
That's what the $10 is for the
leather.
It's not even real leather. It's like faux plastic leather. Oh, come on, you know it's not going to be real leather. For $10?
No. So anyway, I came across this infomercial, and I was just like, you know, that's pretty bad. You know,
that is pretty bad.
It's just a notebook, and they're trying to up the price for $10. So I decided to just Google horrible infomercials just to see what response I could get.
Okay.
And I've come up with 5 pretty bad infomercials that I found, or at least the way that they're selling it.
I'm liking where this is going.
It's either the product is bad or how they're selling it is bad. I'm going to go with this one first.
I love infomercials, so I'm like really excited about this.
All right. This is pretty weird. I'm not going to give you the title of this because it's going to move it away.
Okay.
So I'm going to rank. This is my first horrible infomercial I came across. You ready for this?
Yes.
Wrap yourself up in the Boyfriend Body Pillow. This Boyfriend Arm Pillow is a soft and cozy body pillow that resembles a torso of a man with a comforting arm that cradles and holds you throughout the night. Feel safe and warm in his embrace while comfortably resting your head on his chest. You will love how comfy and warm this body pillow is, and you will love the way he wraps around you and holds you all throughout the night. Log on to our website or call to order this Boyfriend Body Pillow.
It's a boyfriend body pillow.
That's creepy.
All it is a pillow with a hand. What the hell is going on? Apparently...
No, you know what happened? There was a horrible mess up at the pillow making factory. and now they're just saying, hey, it's the boyfriend pillow.
Oh, no.
What?
Someone fell in the pillow making machine.
I don't know. I don't think I was thinking that, but...
Oh, I thought you meant like it was like somebody who fell in the machine and like his arm was sticking out or something.
No, no, no. I mean, somebody just like put in the wrong things and they started...
Oh, I'm more devilish apparently.
Yeah.
But so...
But no, someone I think somebody sewed the pillow casing wrong and they're like, heck, let's just go with it. It's a boyfriend pillow.
The boyfriend body pillow. Apparently, girls don't need guys now at this point between...
They have pillows.
They have boyfriend body pillows. There's... They don't need...
Trying to think family friendly.
Personal entertainment.
They don't. Yeah, they have personal entertainment devices.
Devices, yes.
If you know what we're talking about. They don't need men to get pregnant anymore.
That's right. There you go.
Yeah, there we go. See, girls don't need guys anymore.
That's a horrible message to send.
Whoops.
So there you go.
Infomercials.
The boyfriend body pillow if you're feeling lonely in bed. All right, you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
This one is actually, this was an old infomercial.
Okay.
So you might not know this one. This is for a product called Mr. Microphone.
Okay. And doesn't ring any bells.
Essentially what it does is, and it's a microphone with a FM transmitter. And what you can do is, if you have an FM radio, you can use it. You can use any radio as your personal PA system.
They did a joke about this in The Simpsons.
Well, here you go. This is the actual Mr. Microphone ad.
Okay.
Infomercial. You ready for this?
Yeah, let's do this.
Hey, this Christmas party is getting a little too quiet. I think it's time we liven it up with my favorite Christmas gift, Mr. Microphone.
Hey, what's that?
Well, you set the dial on your FM radio and testing.
I'm on the radio.
These kids are having a fabulous time with Mr. Microphone, the cordless microphone that actually puts your voice on the radio. There are no attaching wires, so you're free to move around. Broadcast over any FM car radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Oh, boy.
That is a guy trying to pick up chicks with Mr. Microphone.
With Mr. Microphone.
That's what his pickup line is.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
But every time you say Mr. Microphone, I think of Mr. Coffee.
from
Spaceballs.
We got Mr. Radar, Mr. Coffee, and now we got Mr. Microphone.
Mr. Microphone.
What's the matter with this thing? What's all that churning and bubbling? You call that a radar screen?
No, sir. We call it Mr. Coffee. Care for some?
Yes! I always have coffee when I watch radar. You know that.
Of course I do, sir.
Everybody knows that.
Of course we do, sir!
So,
he could have used a Mr. Microphone.
Dark helmet. He could have used it. All right, so there you go. That's another one I found.
I just want to point out that we're a radio show. Look at how far people have come. Back then, it was like a big thing. Like, oh, look, Mr. Microphone. We're on the FM radio. And like, Mr. Microphone was a big deal because you could hear your voice on the radio. And now we put together an internet podcast in a couple of months. No big deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. With how far we've gotten with technology, yeah.
We went from Mr. Microphone to a podcast.
Yeah. We don't need to pick up chicks with our Mr. Microphone.
Mr. Microphone.
That sounds slang for you know.
Would you like to play with my Mr. Microphone?
Yeah. You want to sing into my Mr. Microphone? Oh, my gosh. How things were different.
Oh, boy.
All right. You ready for your next one?
Yeah.
All right.
This is as good as the first two.
This one is called the Poo Trap.
Okay. I'm hoping this is for animals.
Are you tired of taking your dog for a walk and picking up after their mess? Are you tired of using grocery bags or products that are heavy and not useful? It can get very messy when your pet goes in the house or on the sidewalk or even your neighbor's lawn. We have the answer for you. Introducing Poo Trap, an amazing new innovation that eliminates the need of picking up after your dog. Poo Trap is a unique new product that fits any size dog without any hassles, and your pets will love it too. It's easy to install on your dog and makes your walking experience fun.
All right, number one.
It's called a diaper.
Yes, it is. It's just a bag.
This is a diaper.
It's just a bag that goes over the butt of your dog. That's all it is.
Just get a plastic bag and put its legs through the two handles.
Number two, I think it's weird that they chose the word install. Easy to install on your dog? He's not a computer.
Like, some assembly required. I'd have to download the drivers for this thing, right?
Yeah, I gotta download the driver for this thing.
There's a software update.
I gotta connect my dog to the internet. Hold on. my dog My Rottweiler needs an update. Guess how much this lovely product costs?
$19.95.
The Magic Poop Collector. Poo Trap is available in 8 sizes and 3 colors. There are no substitutes. Poo Trap, the Magic Poop Collector.
I wonder how bad that guy must feel doing the voice track.
He must have had to do 1,000
takes
of that.
Going, like, really? I gotta say, the Magic Poop Collector.
The Magic Poop Collector.
I really have to say this? Really?
It's so whimsical.
Anyway, the price? $29.95.
What?
For just a bag over your...
$29.95.
For just a bag over your dog's butt.
Dude, just buy diapers and cut a hole out for its tail.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Much cheaper.
It just seems like paying $30 for essentially diapers for a dog. Here's the thing, though. Okay, so it catches the poop. How magical. How wonderful. I don't have to pick it up. Yeah, but you got to clean out that thing now.
Yeah, you got to clean out the diaper.
They're not
thing.
Disposable, are they? So your dog's got to walk around with a load of crap hanging around its backside. Then you got to make sure it doesn't get it all over the place. You got to take it off. And then what are you going to do? What are you going to do with the poop? You're going to flush it down your toilet? You got to take it inside the house? You're going to leave it out in the yard? What do you? Yeah. It sounds like a horrible idea.
It looks horrible. And I would not pay $29.95 for it.
No. No, definitely not.
All right, you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Hopefully
this one doesn't have to do with poop.
No. This one is, apparently this guy was very egotistical because it's called Richard Heinz. He actually had to put his name in this.
Okay.
The Richard Heinz Bear Scratch.
Okay.
You ready for this?
I guess.
All right, let's play the clip.
Hi, I'm inventor Richard Heinz. If you itch like a son of a twitch, then you need my latest invention, the patent-pending Bear Scratch. Check it out. You never walk out in the woods and see a bear bring off a branch to scratch his back? No, he uses the entire tree. Order it at bearscratch.com. The secret is in this natural textured wood and all these tiny knots. It gives you a deep, deep, penetrating scratch. And, oh, man, this thing feels good. This thing's strong. Oh, God. Now that's a bear scratch! That is a bear scratch! Ah!
No. No, I just want to point out they missed out on the perfect opportunity to use Gary Busey.
Yes!
In that infomercial.
I wrestled a bear once, 750-pound black bear. They got a big turkey neck, and they rubbed the turkey fat all over my body and put me in a ring with the bear. And then I started to dance with the bear like wrestling. I'm allergic to bear spit. I broke out in big welts. They had to wrap saran wrap around me and then wrestle the bear. I know about bears, and I can talk to them. I can give them a signal that we're safe, like, wee-hee. That's the sound the bear makes.
See, Gary Busey would have been perfect for that ad.
He knows all about bears.
Yeah.
So, let me get this straight. This product is a fake tree trunk that you hang up on a wall?
Yeah, you hang it in the corner of a wall, and you're supposed to rub your back against it.
You could just do that with the wall.
Yeah, you don't need Richard Heinz Bear Scratch.
You could just scratch your back.
And that guy is certificially insane, all right? I understand selling your product. You know, you gotta be energetic in selling your product, but
right.
Oh my gosh.
The way that he demoed that, I mean, I wasn't watching it. I can only imagine it was just as awkward watching it, but listening to it, it's like, jeez, it's like...
Yeah, it's not an orgasm. It's just scratching.
Well, we don't know. We never tried the bear scratch before.
Oh, yeah.
Penetrating scratch.
The penetrating scratch.
This thing feels good. This thing's strong. Oh. Ah, God.
That's what she said.
Now that's a bear scratch. That is a bear scratch. Ah!
What's with the scream? Ah!
I'm sorry, but Michael Scott could just come in and say that's what she said after every single line of that infomercial.
That would be appropriate.
That would be appropriate.
So there you go.
His
name has to be in it. The Richard Heinz Bear Scratch.
Why would you want your name attached to something like that?
He thought that was his million-dollar idea or something.
And you know what's sad? He probably made a bunch of money on that. I wouldn't be surprised.
Enough to make a infomercial about it.
Yeah.
All right, and you're ready for my last one? This yeah. is probably the weirdest one I found, and I can't believe...
This is the weirdest one.
I can't...
You mean weirder than the dog diapers and the the wall orgasm machine and...
I think so.
Okay.
I can't believe...
I can't even remember the other ones. I blocked them from my memory.
I can't believe people paid money for this one.
Okay.
All right, you ready for this?
Okay.
It's called Cheers to You.
Oh, God.
Next time you're feeling down, feeling that no one really gets you, or you're just wanting to hear some encouraging words, well, there's a solution.
You can have what you want. You can do it. The finish line is closer than you think.
The Cheers to You CD is 8 tracks filled with encouragement and cheering applause. It's even been featured on The Ellen DeGeneres Show.
We're on your side. We're here for you. We believe in you.
We guarantee you'll be feeling better about yourself and your life, or we'll give you your money back. Call 1-877-545-6715 now to order the Cheers to You CD, and you'll also receive 3 puzzle-shaped affirmative tokens. One says, I am courageous. Another, I am unstoppable. And the third, without me, the puzzle is incomplete. Together, all these items normally sell for $35, but right now you can get them for only $24.95. Call now, and don't forget.
Hooray for you!
A CD that just supposedly has positive messages for you, $25.
I wish we had video at points like this.
Hooray for you! Yeah.
I just want to point out, he guarantees that, what do you say, he guarantees your life will get better, and if it doesn't, they'll give you your money back?
Supposedly. My life has not been better from this run.
I want my money back. 8 tracks of cheering and
applause.
I guess motivational phrases.
Yeah. Wait a minute. We'll give you half of the deal right now for free, all right? We can give you applause.
And here's the other half. You guys are so amazing.
Wait.
Now send us your money.
Wait. I'll give you some happy music. Yeah.
Woo.
You are the best.
You are amazing. Look at you.
You are looking good.
Oh, yeah. Keep up the good work, sport.
Everyone knows that there's no I in team, but you sure are being an important piece of the puzzle. You make the world a better place. Everything is good.
I just realized I'm not very good at giving compliments.
Nonsense, Mike.
I'm like sitting here trying to think of something. I'm just bobbing up and down.
Mike will bob up and down for your greatness. This podcast is made just for you.
That's right, just for you.
Just for you, sport.
Do they owe us $25 yet, Rich?
I don't know, but we're getting there.
Do we have to give more compliments?
All for you. You're the best.
And now they owe us money, right?
Yep, now you owe us money, apparently. Okay. You owe us $25. Ta-da!
Well, that's what that guy did.
Yep. Hooray for you!
Can't believe people plunked down $25.
Yeah, it's actually kind of sad to think people are in such a place that they pay $25 just to hear whatever that was.
Yeah.
Motivational. I don't know. If I was listening to that, I would get sick of it. Like, that's not motivational. That's annoying.
Yeah.
And the cheering. 8 tracks of that?
Yeah.
How long are the tracks? Like 30 seconds? I can't imagine listening to like a 4-minute track of cheering.
Oh my God, that's enough! Don't you people have anything better to do? Oh no! It won't stop!
Yeah, it makes people crazy.
Well, anyway, there you go.
The weirdest infomercials I found on the internet.
And I guarantee a bunch of people have bought all of them.
Yeah, things you will find on the internet.
Oh, that was amazing. And I'm so glad we finally got to share it with all of you.
Yeah, that has been in the can for far too long.
Yeah. It feels good to get it off our chests, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, something that we never cut, though, are some of the appearances from our guest stars.
Oh, yeah. Whenever we have the third mic occupied, we never cut anything that they have to bring to the table.
Because it's all gold, isn't it?
Yeah. And these 4 guests that we've had on the show in the past year just prove it. We've had people like comedian Rick Murarky, commentator Dylan Brown, politician. We've had
That's politicians.
Mark Coonripy Brown and musician Mike Roy. All just providing just gold star performances on the third mic here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Right. Well, you know, we couldn't put the whole episodes up with these guest stars, so we narrowed it down to the best moments from each guest star appearance.
That's right. So here it is, our favorite guest star moments here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Episode 29, Rick Moriarty tells us about a bullet hole period in the Odd News segment.
Because for the first time ever, we have a special guest on the show. Please welcome Rick Moriarty to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yay!
Woo! Yeah!
Emphasize special, too.
How you doing, Rick?
Like flavored window kind. Sorry. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, it's great. You know, you're the first guest on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I apologize from now. But to all of the preceding guests, I will set the bar very low. So you guys are good. No, I'm thrilled to be here. I enjoy your show, so this is going to be fun for me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We're thrilled to have you on as our very first guest appearance.
Thank you.
So Yeah.
All right, let's get to our news stories.
All right.
You ready for the first one?
Of course.
In Northern California, a couple didn't report that their 10-year-old daughter had been shot for more than 5 hours because they thought the bleeding that she had was her first period.
How old was she?
10 years old.
And it's coming out of her shoulder?
where was she shot?
She had those high shorts on. It's a new style. They come up past the belly button.
Right,
now.
Right, yeah.
I'm in with it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Was it Hernandez? The last name had to be like a Hernandez. I'm just taking a shot at the dark. It's because she's from California. That's why I say that.
No, the girl was sleeping in her Hayward home around 2 a.m. Thursday when a random stray bullet from a drive-by shooting wounded her in the buttocks. When the girl woke up...
Oh, that makes sense. It's not the shoulder. It's not as funny now.
Well... When the girl woke up in pain and had blood in her underwear, her parents thought that she had started her period. But
did she say, no, I have a bullet hole in my ass? Did she not say, you're right, Mom, it must be that. Ow, this bullet is really hurting me.
Wait, this is what's going to happen?
Yeah, I got a pistol in my
ass. What?
This is what's going to happen every third week? That's how it works?
What... The parents say that they had no indication that a bullet went through and that she had been shot.
Why didn't she... Did she try to explain it to her?
At that point, you just give the kid away. Just... It's just not going to do it. Like, listen, I'm taking this kid because... trust me.
You obviously couldn't tell she got shot.
If you don't know that your kid was shot with a bullet and you think it's because they're menstruating, get a dog instead. Start with a goldfish.
The girl says she woke up for school and was still in pain. Her parents inspected her bed, and then they saw the bullet holes. So it wasn't until the next morning.
So, okay.
Wait a minute.
A bullet wound from
the entire... They waited until the next morning?
Yes, they did.
They didn't hear it?
No, apparently they didn't.
Over oatmeal in the morning. You know, we should call the police because our daughter got shot in the ass.
What's that round hole on the corner of her bed? Is that the new thing that they do, the kids do? Oh, wait, no, that's a bullet hole.
Okay. The awkwardness of that joke made it so funny. I just let him finish. He's like, I did too.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that a new thing that kids do? I don't know, but that's going to be my new tag. I want to use it 15 more times.
All right, as long as you credit me in that.
You know, that's right up there with like Instagramming, you know, drilling holes in your wall.
Yeah, I thought that's what the kids do.
You're very in touch with modern society, Rich.
Yeah, you know?
The new happenings with the kids.
Aren't you hip to the rap music? See, I'm hip to the rap music. I know what they do.
I would pay $1,000 to see you at a rap concert.
Do you want to hear me rap?
No.
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
So there you go.
I even love how you punctuated. Your enunciation is phenomenal.
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
It's like Schoolhouse Rocks, but the Lil Wayne version. I'm just a bill.
Sitting on Capitol Hill.
I got rich not breathing, so we're going to go to the next story.
Oh, boy.
To go back to the story, don't worry about the girl. She has been hospitalized, and she will be okay.
Well, that's good. Thank God they returned it to her parents where she's safe and sound.
And not getting shot.
Episode 39, Dylan Brown talks about the last strike in the Odd News segment.
And you know what? Before we get into the show, I'm going to introduce our special guest here for the night.
That's right.
He is a childhood friend of mine. Please welcome Dylan Brown to the Chris Mutal Podcast.
Hello. Hey.
How you doing, Dylan?
I'm doing pretty good. So this is the first time I've been with you guys, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. How do you like the whole podcast scene? This is your first time in the foray of podcasting?
It's pretty hardcore. I did not imagine you guys doing as much coke as you do. it's not what I expected out of the Crispy Noodle, definitely. It's a hardcore scene.
The prep work is mighty intense.
Yeah.
This one is, I've got to admit, one of the oddest news stories I've ever seen.
Really?
Luckily,
you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah. TLC is doing a new show called Best Funeral Ever.
What?
What? Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes. And this isn't even the oddest part of the story, all right?
Oh, my God. I just seen them, like, do an interview. So, what do you think of your grandpa's funeral?
I mean,
which is awesome for you as it was for us.
We already read about Grave Swap.
That's going to be their first story.
That's their more recent show.
Wow. Grave Swap. Uh-oh, look what we did. What happens?
We took one beloved family member and swapped it with somebody else.
Watch now as craziness ensues.
Wednesdays at 9 on ABC.
Grave Swap.
It's the second part of Wife Swap. It's like 30 years later.
I'm glad you caught that. That's what
I was. Thank you.
Brilliant. Grave Swap. Coming soon. Well, all right. First off, before we get Grave Swap, we need to address this because this is real. TLC is producing a show called Best Funeral Ever, all right? Now, you think that's the odd part of the show, but it actually is kind of like the opposite of 6 Feet Under. What they're doing with the first couple of episodes is showing why funeral arrangements can be viewed as a celebration of life. So that's all right. All right, you know, no big whoop.
Okay, yeah.
But during filming of an episode of Best Funeral Ever, they found a family of Judy Sunday, who recently died, and she was a really big bowling lover. So they decided for her funeral, and TLC decided to film it, they decided to have her funeral at her local bowling alley.
Oh, yeah. That'll brighten things up.
Yeah.
The league in there is like, what the hell are they doing? We're trying to play a game here. People are like ordering beer and wings in the middle of the funeral. It's great because they can have the luncheon right there.
Yeah, it's right next to the bar. During the funeral, they had R.I.P. Judy written on bowling pins that was down the lane and created an apparatus that allowed the family to use her casket and bowl her down the lane.
I was going to ask, but thought maybe that was just a little too far. Obviously, it was not.
No, this is the odd news segment. And this is reality TV we're mixing into this.
And as the disco bowl turned on, we threw her down the lane and she knocked down the pole.
It's a strike.
For Judy.
Coffin. How do you not
get a ball?
Oh, let's really absorb. Let's really set the scene here with this exclusive audio clip from the new show Best Funeral Ever, and I'm not making any of this up. So let's play the clip.
We're gathered here today at this bowling alley to celebrate the funeral of Miss Judy Sunday. A bowler don't just walk up to the lane and throw the ball. This is how life is. You got to take your time. Focus, hold on, and look at that pin and release the ball. Don't worry about the person that's standing next to you, because they got their own lane to bowl down. Check this out. You got to bowl down your own lane. It don't matter about what size the ball may be. 12, 6, 4, 14 to 10.
come to the time where Sister Judy Sunday will get the last rite of her life. Come on and step up. Take these last minutes of the opportunity of serving your mama down here, of pushing her down.
I'm not making this up. They are about to push the casket down the lane.
It's so beautiful.
When I got to push that casket, I just had this fantastic feeling come over me. Like she was there just helping me get it down the lane.
And of course, it's a strike. It's a freaking coffin! That would be embarrassing if you didn't get a strike.
Does it come up on the monitor? Did they put Judy in as the name?
Well, she bowled the last strike of her life right there.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
I still have no idea what to make of that.
They're way too excited doing that video. I've never heard such philosophy with bowling. Like, it goes down the alley!
No matter what size ball you have, you can always tackle life's problems by throwing it at a pin. Something to that nature.
That's how Judy approached life's problems. She just threw balls at them.
She went and she grabbed life by the balls and she threw it down the lane. Hallelujah!
Amen! I can't believe this is actually a thing.
God bless Judy. No, to be honest with
God
you,
God bless Judy.
If there
is
was
right.
Any way I would want to go out, you know what? Throwing my coffin down a bowling lane. That would kind of do it. That would work for me. I'd be okay. I'm really glad you shared that with us.
Yeah, as am I.
That was amazing.
And that was my last story
What other reality? Sorry. What other reality TV shows can they come up with? I mean, now they've got dead
grave
people.
Swap.
Grave swap. Yeah.
It's time for grave swap.
You better watch out. They're going to steal that from you.
They are. Copyrighted crispy noodle.
That seems like an awesome funeral, though.
I kind of wish I knew Judy now. And I think, there you go.
I want to be at that funeral.
Yeah.
You know what would
that
be funny?
That was a fun funeral.
Aren't the bowling lanes slippery? What if they, like, all slipped as they were pushing the coffin and it just, like, veered off to the side and, like, went into somebody else's lane? Did they put bumpers? Did they put the bumpers on?
Judy, well, the apparatus was kind of rigged so that it went down the alley straight.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so it was fixed.
Yeah, it was an apparatus. Yeah, they could have... Like... This is a real body in the gasket.
Well,
here.
Well, they fixed.
Hey,
they fixed
normal
the game.
Bowling laws still exist.
Yeah. That's a foul.
They
that
can't
is
cross.
A foul.
They can't cross the line.
Yep, that's a foul. Get her old bones back,
Judy or no Judy.
Does she come out the ball return? Just squeeze. Oh, all right.
Man.
All right. As usual, I've taken it way too far. Episode 45, we interview Mark Coonrippy Brown, and he tells us how he's the voice of the people.
All right, folks, and on the phone right now, we have what could be potentially the next governor of Tennessee. Folks, please welcome Mark Coonrippy Brown, otherwise known as the Raccoon Man. How are you doing, Mark?
Hey, I'm hanging in there. What about yourself?
Doing well up here in Philly. I mean, what an unbelievable story this is for you, Mark. I mean, you know, you posted a couple of these funny YouTube clips, and then all of a sudden you've got this momentum all of a sudden that now you're an internet celebrity. I mean, how was that transition?
Well, it ain't like it happened overnight. It's about 2 years in the making.
2 years? That's when you started first doing the raccoon videos?
Yeah.
You know, your story just really touched us on this show. We thought, you know, it was so sad that you had Rebecca taken away from you. What has the journey been like trying to gain enough support to get Rebecca back?
This journey has been devastating, and we are looking for some type of closure. We had called numerous times to the CWRA, the governor's office. We had written letters. We had the entire United States and other countries sign petitions for us. We actually petitioned in out in front of Capitol Hill, down in Nashville, and it just fell on deaf ears. And I finally decided that, hey, it's time that I let the people know that our government doesn't care. They're not listening to the cries of the people. They're more concerned with other issues. We are the people, so to speak. And it's time that our voice is heard. And so I decided to run for the governor, and I've pretty much stirred up the stink here in the volunteer state.
Well, let me ask you that. I mean, what made you, what elevated it to you felt that you needed to run for governor? I mean,
I had made mention back last fall that the Honorable Governor Haslam, who I voted for, I said it was going to be kind of awkward that if Haslam is running for governor again in 2014, how is he going to avoid questions from the media about Rebecca when he's got other things to do? And I said, do not forget the raccoon vote. And lo and behold, here I am. That's what I'm here for. I am the voice of the people.
And I also wanted to ask you this question. All right, in your announcement video that you were going to run for Tennessee governor, you said that you're going to be unlike the other politicians, and that if you wanted to call your governor, you would be there to answer. And I've got to admit, sir, when I got your number in an email, I called that number. I thought for sure I was going to get like a, you know, like an assistant or something, or maybe like your girlfriend. And instead I actually got you. So I want to give you props that the number that is, you know, that people refer to whenever they're dealing with contacts, with your campaign is your number. That's awesome. You know,
even in Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, whatever, we've all got state representatives, congressmen or whatever, and they all have their phone number posted on their website. Well, they just as well post a 900 number because they're not going to answer the phone, and that's wrong. Do not post a phone number that you're not going to answer if you are voted for and put in office by the people. Answer the phone.
Wow, you.
That's all I'm saying. If you put me in office, I at least owe it to you to answer the phone when you call.
Well, you really are the people's champion. You have a great cause that people can get behind. You're very personal in the fact that you answer your own phone calls, something that a lot of politicians probably don't do.
All of them don't.
Yeah, all of them don't do that.
Yeah.
I'll never stay out of touch with the people who put me in office.
Well, that's commendable.
That's just wrong. You don't get elected to an office and go inside and lock the door and pull the blinds.
That's right. That is definitely a good stance.
And like I said in the video, we got to bring this country back one state at a time, and we're starting with Tennessee.
Wow. So what do you think your chances are of actually winning this race?
Slim or none.
But you're still going to try, right?
Well, from what I've gathered so far, every one of the Democrats just running has dropped out of the race because this is going down in history as one of the most bizarre elections in the state, I mean, in the history of the United States election. So we'll see what happens. But even in my case, a no win is still a win by the publicity we have brought to government not paying attention to the cries of the people.
That's right, because, you know, hey, right here in Philadelphia, we picked up your story and we covered it last week on our show. So, I mean, your message is getting out there.
Well, I say we are one nation under God, not above God.
Well, we hope that you do well in the upcoming primary. And, you know, when is the primary? Isn't it more towards the summer?
August. So we've got all summer, kick up a little dust, as they say.
Yeah, I like that attitude. Kick up the dust.
Like I said before, I'm not here to smooth anybody's fur. I'm going to tell it like it is, as they say. And if I can't get an amen from you, I'm going to say it myself, amen.
I like that.
Yeah.
If I don't get an amen out of you, I'm going to say amen for myself.
That's right. If I can't get one out of you, I'm going to say it for myself, amen.
I like that. I like that slogan.
That is a great attitude. Your story is amazing, and what a noble cause. I think you really, even if you don't win the governorship, I think you've done a great job in raising awareness for animal rights and just trying to create change in that field.
Before I go, remember, Swamp Music 12, come and join our Facebook page, or at least visit us at swampmusic12@youtube.com.
There you go, Swamp Music 12. Check it out online. Do a Google search. I'm sure you'll be able to find all of his videos. Once again, Mark, thank you for coming on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. You did live up to your promise. I called you up and you answered.
There you go.
That's right. He's changing things. Folks, Mark Coonrippy Brown, the Raccoon Man, here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you for coming on the show.
Okay, you be particular.
What was that?
I said you be particular.
Be particular? Is that your way of saying goodbye?
That's right.
I like that. That's be cool. Particular.
I'm going to have to remember that.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Mark. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Oh, boy. What a call there.
That was a very nice conversation with the Raccoon Man.
I'm rooting for him.
Episode 53. We talk with Mike Roy, and he performs Sweet Maria live on the podcast.
Folks, Mike Roy of Roy and the Secret People here on the line. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Doing pretty good here.
So how did Roy and the Secret People come together then?
Well, that came together hop, skip, and a jump. From Florida through Philadelphia for 5 years, landed my ass in New York City around 2000, between 2000 and 2001. The band that I was in, which was just called Roy, R-O-I, from Philadelphia, had kind of petered out a little bit. I formed a band with a bunch of friends of mine, and they were all in about seven other bands at the time. So looking back, every month there would be one guy would be in, one guy would be out. So my roster was probably – it probably consists of 13 different people at one point, of people I could call for whatever gig around Manhattan or Brooklyn that I was playing. So then I called it Roy and the Secret People because I never really knew who was going to play what show.
That is, wow. That's actually a really great tactic.
That is.
Yeah.
That's a really cool origin story, if you will. So I guess that unique situation is what led you to that really – I think it's a really cool name, Roy and the Secret People.
Oh, thanks.
Now, I have a question.
Yep.
When you started out in Florida, did you move from Florida to New York right off the bat?
No. I moved from South Florida to Philadelphia with my band around 1995. I don't know if that was the year of the blizzard or not. I'm not sure. But two of the guys in the band had never seen snow.
Uh-oh.
Well, the winter of 95-96 was the legendary 3-foot blizzard year. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah. You know, we've had a heck of a winter this year. And, you know, every time it's been snowing, we play this ridiculous clip here. Let me play it for you.
Play it. Play it, please.
I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. They said snow! I gotta get the bread and milk! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh my god!
Have you noticed any change from like people in the South reacting to snow as opposed to us here in the Northeast?
Because I just love you guys that much more right now. That is awesome. My biggest pet peeve thing since I've lived in the North, well actually since I've come back to Pennsylvania, in, you know, here in Easton, is this whole bread and milk thing. I've never understood this. I can't wrap my head around it. When in Florida, so we don't have the snow. We had the hurricanes, right?
Right.
Right.
So our thing was you get duct tape and batteries.
So wait. So let's get this straight. The Southern Coast equivalent of bread and milk is duct tape and what is it?
Batteries.
All right. We've got our new clip for you whenever we've got hurricanes.
You know, that sounds much more practical than just bread and milk, I just have to say.
What does that say? You're totally right.
Yeah, we're up here. We're prepared for French toast.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you know, that's comforting.
Yeah, it is.
Not
it
practical,
is.
But comforting. but that's amazing that they never saw snow before. That's crazy. I mean, that's something that up here in the Northeast, we kind of just take for granted because we see it every winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand that you got a guitar with you, and maybe we'll try this out. Would you like to give the Crispy Noodle Podcast its first ever live performance on the air?
Sure.
Yeah, let's give it a shot. Let's see if it works.
All right. So you want to play a song?
Yeah. What song would you like to play?
All right.
I know, for the first time ever, you don't have to take requests.
This could be a first. This is the second song that I ever wrote, and it made it finally to an album, which is our newest album, Phoenix, and it's called Sweet Maria.
Okay.
All right.
Folks, here you go. For the first time ever here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, Sweet Maria, the first ever live performance here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Take it away, Mike Roy.
Sweet Maria. She was a teacher, had a father's eyes. She stood there waiting, her soul for taking it. Mirrors were her eyes. And all alone she waited for him to come rescue her. She could save him. Out in the field and watched it drawing near. And as she watched it get closer, the figure of and cleared. And all alone she waited for him to come rescue her. She could save him. She loved today. He took her away. He left today. Goodbye, sweet Maria. His name was Pedro. He dressed in yellow and his duty was supreme. That'll take you to my house where many wonders lay that I've never seen. And she knew when her hand you touched his wing, he had come to take her home to sweet old thing. She loved today, she couldn't stay.
Amazing.
That was
thanks.
Mike Roy with Sweet Maria. Wow.
That was amazing, Mike.
Thank you very much.
I have a question. Right before you started that song, you did an intro where you said that was the second song you wrote.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's a personal reason, but, you know, how does a song, you know, you create, you know, that you want to tell to people, you know, kind of fall to the backside, and then all of a sudden you get it again and you want to say it again. Like, how does that happen, that it's the second song that you wrote and now it's just coming out? Because that was an amazing song.
Oh, well, thank you. The Well, no, when I wrote that song, we smoked a lot of pot in Florida.
Yes! Honest answer.
And I had my the band I was in at the time, which was a morphed band from my high school band. So three of the members I had known since, almost elementary school. We were called Brother Grimm and in Florida. And that band, that song, the guitar player had shown me three chords. And I kind of started finding out other chords after he'd shown me the three chords. And, you know, late at night when you're totally, you know, stoned and stuff, you're just messing around with the guitar. And these melodies were just coming into my head as I was playing, you know, the chords. And so I made the song up. I presented it to the band, and they kind of took it over for a little while.
Looking forward to see you live here in the city, man.
I hope you guys come out early so we can, like, have a beer and, like, you know, bullshit.
Yes, I will take you up on that offer. One of these shows, I will get a beer with you. How about that?
All right. Well, you have to let me know because the first beer is on me, man.
Oh, all right.
Awesome.
Either way, if both you guys come out, that's fine. The beers are on me. The first beer.
Good disclaimer. Not the second and the third and the fourth.
No, I'm all about buybacks.
There you go. But I would love to have a beer with you. Folks, this is Mike Roy, Roy and the Secret People. Thank you, Mike, for coming here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Thank you very much, guys. It was an honor.
All right, Mike, we'll talk to you later.
You got it.
And there you go, man. What an interview. He's a cool guy.
That was an awesome interview. That was Mike Roy of Roy and the Secret People. Right now, they are promoting their first single, Little Pain, from their new CD, Phoenix, with a free download at their Bandcamp site. Just check them out at mikeroy.bandcamp.com to get a free download of Little Pain. And remember to also check them out at their website, royandthesecretpeople.com.
All right, and wow, that was our first ever musical performance with that last bit with Mike Roy on the show. That was awesome.
That was great, and a fun song, too.
Yeah. So there you go, just an idea of the guest stars that sometimes grace us with their presence on the third mic here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Always a blast when we can have a third person here on the show. And when that music kicks in, it means it's time to end the show. What a show to relive everything we've done up to this point.
That's right, the first Crispy Noodle retrospective.
That's right. If you want more information on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our page on YouTube where you can find some of these best bits and highlights and some of the other videos we've done over the past year and a half. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your computer, your phone, your tablet, your MP3 player. You can listen to us on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere. Just search for and download the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And if you're not doing anything Wednesday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., check out the Blog Talk Radio page of Totally Driven Entertainment's website, because that is where we premiere each week's episode. But if you can't make it to that, that's why we've got the podcast, so that you can download or stream every episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast whenever, wherever, however you want to. Period.
That's right. But if you can't sit through the whole 2-hour episode, Rich, we have a SoundCloud page, isn't that right?
That's right, and that's where you can listen to our mini noodles of information. We take the best bits of the show and condense them into just a 1-2 minute promo package so that you can listen to it on the go or share it with friends. Definitely a good way to share the mystique, the majesty, the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
There you go. So tons of ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's how you get into contact with us individually. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's how you do a clip show.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. Take a note, all the other media outlets.
That's right.
Yeah. That'll do it. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week with a whole bunch of new news stories and entertainment and on-news. Everything new to the minute.
Yep. Can't wait for it.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, you touch my ta-la-la.
Estás en toda la boca.
Que te va a hacer pupita.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.